get me wake up, taking control. This is a new beginning. My gears are spinning. Let's rock and roll.
Claire Anthony tells us, extreme shoes may seem to be a relatively recent phenomenon, but they've actually been around in one form or another for a very long time. Consider the solid gold sandals entombed with the pharaohs of ancient Egypt, or the various kinds of platform shoes worn hundreds of years ago in China, Japan, the Ottoman Empire, and Europe. In 15th century Italy, platform shoes went as high as 20 inches. At the opposite extreme were the tiny shoes worn by Chinese women who underwent the painful process of foot binding to achieve the cultural ideal of 3-inch or less lengths of the golden lotus, as the bound foot was called. In the 16th century, the high heel migrated to the West from the Middle East, where it was worn by horseback riders to help hold their feet in the stirrups. Although initially adopted by men, the heel was soon worn by upper-class members of both sexes. Louis XIV, the Sun King, upped the ante for status shoes when he declared that only members of the royal court could wear shoes with red heels. After the French Revolution, high heels went out of style, but by the middle of the 19th century, they were back, at least for women. The first famous shoemaker was Jean-Louis François Pinet, who beautifully embroidered shoes, and they were sought after by wealthy, well-dressed women. André Perugia came to prominence in the 1920s, creating his own footwear designs and collaborating with couturiers such as Elsa Schiaparelli, a couturier who often incorporated surrealism in her clothes. In 1938, Schiaparelli and Perugia collaborated on a pair of high heel boots decorated with long monkey fur. Perugia was also the creator of the first towering heelless shoe, which appeared in the late 1930s. Around the same time, Salvatore Ferragamo introduced modern cork platforms and the wedge heel. One of his designs with a high platform in the colors of a rainbow is said to be a style he originally created for Judy Garland. His designs were sought after by both male and female actors, earning him the sobriquet of Shoemaker to the Stars. Platform shoes came back in a big way in the 1970s. They were worn everywhere, from the street to the stage. Male rock groups seemed to compete for the title of most outrageous costume, including platform shoes, with Kiss among the top contenders. In the 1990s, Vivienne Westwood revived platform shoes, taking them to even more towering heights. In 1993, model Naomi Campbell took a spill while walking the runway in a pair of 8-inch high Westwood platforms. Since then, the style has never really gone out of style. In fact, platforms just continue to get higher and higher. Although extreme shoes have existed for hundreds of years, there were rarely so many different kinds coexisting at the same time as there are today. And that from a study by Claire Anthony.
No need to be embarrassed. I like being looked at, and you like to look. I know a way to make us both happy.
In the hit musical Kinky Boots, the costume designer Greg Barnes and the cast developed several nicknames for the elaborate 6-inch stiletto boots used throughout the show, reflecting their vibrant designs or the physical toll of performing in them. The Gentleman Caller, for instance, is a turquoise boot based on a classic men's brogue with an orange leopard trim. The Cherry Bombs, a nickname used backstage for certain bright red pairs. The Stiletto Killers, a moniker given to the more dangerous-looking high-heeled pairs. The Ankle Breakers, a practical nickname for the tallest and most difficult boots to dance in during the intense boot camp training the cast underwent. The Union Jack, an irreverent boot featuring the British flag, which is the first to appear in the Milan runway finale of the show, and the Highland Fling, a tartan-patterned boot that serves as a nod to the late fashion designer Alexander McQueen. That from the New York Post and other outlets. Every pair was custom made by Phil DeLuca to ensure they could withstand the weight of the performers doing jumps, splits, and high impact choreography. Some of the most intricate handmade boots cost upwards of $2,000 per pair. While extreme shoes are central to the musical Kinky Boots, they're really the pretext to tell a story of friendship, acceptance, regrets, and being one's authentic self. We have a chance to examine the shoes because the Kinky Boots show is coming to town. Kinky Boots is the next production in the 2025-2026 season of Broadway in Scranton, presented by Broadway Theater League and NAC Entertainment at the Scranton Cultural Center, February 13th through the 15th. We had a chance to speak by phone with Ali Basaliga of NAC Entertainment about the continuing season.
We are approaching our third show of a six-show season. Back in 2025, we had six in November, and then we had the Book of Mormon in December. Both were great engagements. Audiences really loved both. Both tons of fun. And we are keeping up the fun all the way through this season, and again, starting with Kinky Boots in 2026. So we have Kinky Boots coming up on February 13th and 15th. Then we have Chicago, which is now Broadway's longest running musical, returning to Scranton, March 6th through 8th. Then we have actually a play and not a musical with Clue. That's April 24th through 26th. And then we have the enduring classic, Meredith Wilson's The Music Man, wrapping up our season June 12th through 14th. This season really reaches all decades and audiences.
How often do you have a play like Clue?
Really? The only time I can think in my time here is back the month before COVID started. So February 2020, we had another comedy play, actually. We had The Play That Goes Wrong. The last time we've had a play. But I really feel like it's once in a blue moon.
But this Clue has gotten a lot of good notices. It draws people in a way that it doesn't need to be a musical, really.
Right? Oh, no. I saw it back in the fall when we had it in Syracuse. And I can earnestly say it's 80 minutes long, just under an hour and a half. And it is so packed tight with comedy, it flies by. There are so many jokes per minute, and between, like, you know, slapstick jokes and just general jokes that you'll recognize, because it's loosely based on the 1985 movie and, of course, the game. So, you know, if you're a fan of either or both, you'll appreciate that show a lot.
Mustard, Mr. Mustard or Dr. Mustard or something.
Colonel, Erica, Colonel.
Yes, I haven't played it in such a long time.
I saw the show recently. I had an advantage. I don't know the last time I played Clue. And I feel like when I played it, I was like a Professor Plum kind of gal. I can't remember who I played as. I was never a Colonel Mustard gal, so I don't blame you.
When we zero in on the next production, which is Kinky Boots, and you and I talked about it when we were talking about the season as a whole, it is one that really has grabbed the public and has a tremendous following because people love the concept, right?
Oh, this show is such a delight, just from start to finish. It opened on Broadway back in 2013. It won six Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Best Original Score. The score is done by Cyndi Lauper, of all people, so you know that's going to be a ball. And it won the Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album as well. This show has great characters, great music, and I believe I probably talked about this when we were talking about 6-2, that obviously with a name like Kinky Boots, you know the costumes are going to be absolutely fantastic.
If people haven't been to a show at the Cultural Center that you all have produced and presented, the idea is that this is a touring show that really cares about things like smashing costumes and doing right by the setting and all of the dressing that's involved.
Absolutely. Well, that's what another fun part about this show is the choreography, which, again, the original choreography also won the Tony Award. There are these big musical numbers and these fun dance sequences. I mean, I won't go into any more detail to not to spoil, but there is some dancing on treadmills that you can't miss in this one. It's a lot of fun. So it really is a high energy spectacle.
And I think, don't you, we are in a place in our world where a little spectacle doesn't hurt as long as we don't overdo it. A little razzle dazzle can lift our spirits.
Absolutely. And that's another thing about this show is that it really is, maybe despite the name, like a family friendly message overall, because it really comes down to loving yourself and being true to yourself and accepting yourself and others and chasing after your own dreams. There's a lot of, actually, also maybe surprisingly, if you don't know anything about the plot, that goes into father-son relationships for both of the two main characters. So there's a lot of humanity and heart in the show under the sparkle and the spectacle as well.
Yeah, I think you mentioned last time too, didn't you, Allie? This is based on a true story.
Yes, so it is based on a true story. So the base story of Kinky Boots. So first of all, it takes place in England. So buckle up for your British accents. And it's about a son who inherits his father's shoe factory. And the factory is going under and he's trying to find a way to get business back going. And then he meets a drag performer who goes by Lola. And together they have the idea of, you know, why don't we produce a product that we're tapping into a different demographic, say, and make boots that will sustain men's weight and height for these drag performers. And it really all comes out of that. That is the origin of the story. And it is just so much fun, you know, watching these two people who you might not think have a lot in common at the first place really realize at their core they're very, very similar. Apparently all that really happened. And that's a, it's funny when you think about it, because you're like, oh, that's a no-brainer. But yeah, it originally happened in the late 90s, the real story. And then it became a movie in 2005. And then it became the musical in 2013.
We know Cyndi Lauper's music as a performer. Is the score like what she does when she's performing on stage?
There are definitely some upbeat pop ballads in this show, but there are also, you know, your more heartfelt songs. But a lot of it has a fun rock pop edge to it, for sure. And also, on top of that, to go into the Tony Award-winning team, the creative team, is Harvey Fierstein wrote the book to this musical. So if you love Hairspray, you definitely will love the book and the story and the dialogue of this show. It's a lot of fun, but with a lot of heart.
Before I was coming to talk to you, I was thinking, you know, it's like Hairspray.
Yeah, well, and really, that's why I like to bring up Harvey Fierstein at the show, because I'm someone who, I was a kid when the new Hairspray movie came out, the 2007 one, and I like just absolutely loved that show. So then knowing that he had written that musical, and then when I had seen Kinky Boots, I like already knew I was going to love it because of that.
It goes without saying that it's not a slam dunk to create a new work that will carry across the footlights and engage an audience from start to finish. You've surely read, Allie, that The Outsiders, just at the end of January, recouped its initial investment. And haven't they said that not one of the nearly 20 musicals that opened in the 2024-25 season actually made a profit that year, and a few closed in 4 months or so?
Yeah, The Outsiders. Yeah, they just recouped. Well, that's why it's always so important as well to highlight all the different creative team members, because this is an age-old saying, and I'm sure you've heard it a bunch, but you know, when you can't talk anymore, you sing. When you can't sing anymore, you dance. So between the book, between the music, between the choreography, all of those elements are so important for telling story and developing character in these shows.
And if we have seen the movie, we still should see the stage play or the stage musical.
You should see the stage play. I don't know if you can put this, but I haven't seen the movie. I have seen this show 3 times, and I had an absolutely delightful time going in more or less blind to the story.
There really isn't anything like being in a theater with an audience and living, breathing actors and dancers and singers.
Well, Absolutely. Like, no matter what, you can watch a movie so many times, but having those people in front of you, I mean, I'll use Hairspray as another example. I grew up, again, on that movie, the musical version with Zac Efron, the one and only. And I grew up on that movie, and I could quote that movie till I'm blue in the face. And when I saw it for the first time, and we had it in Scranton a few years ago, I was so emotional watching that unfold in front of me. It's so different when you have exactly this team. I always say, and everyone does too, that theater is a team sport, and it's really a miracle every performance, because there is so much that goes into every single performance, especially with touring, getting it from city to city. So it really is just miraculous to watch in front of you.
It's a generalization, isn't it? But people spend so much time on their devices, no matter what they are, and they're in isolation usually when they're doing that. And to get together with a bunch of people who love theater and are laughing at the same time and clapping at the same time, it may not build a lasting community, but it gives you a sense that we're all in this together.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, especially, you know, I've seen this show a few times before. Same with Six and Book of Mormon so far this season. I love going when we have a show here in Scranton. I love going, being there on opening night, and, you know, I know what jokes are coming up or what songs are coming up, and it's so exciting to hear the audience reaction to that. And then, you know, there'll be things that I didn't even think of as jokes, or like I didn't really notice the first time I'd seen it, and the audience reacts to it. And what's great is that because every performance is different, not only because the performances of the actors, but the audience, different audiences react differently to performances. So it really is a unique in the moment experience every single time.
And it's taking place at the Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple, and the proscenium arch is back. Have you seen it?
Oh my goodness. I have seen it. Oh my goodness. It is gorgeous. You know, it hasn't been seen for years and years. So it is so beautiful to see that theater in the state that it is. It really is such an immersive experience, too, just being in this historical building. It's so exciting to have shows presented there and to have such a beautiful stage house.
Aren't we fortunate? Because we know not every town and city can accommodate a Broadway show.
Exactly. Yes, and absolutely. I mean, what a gift to, you know, Scranton being 2 hours outside of New York. You think, okay, yes, I can go and maybe go see some shows in New York, but a lot of these shows aren't on Broadway anymore. So it's exciting to have these shows 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes down the road.
Tell us all the things again. Review the dates and how we can take part in this show, and maybe if we want to look ahead to the rest of the season, all the particulars.
Of course, I would love to. So we have Kinky Boots February 13th through 15th. We have all of our shows from here on out for the season, our 4 performances. So Friday night at 7:30, Saturday at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., and then Sunday at 1 p.m. So we have 2 evenings and 2 matinees. Kinky Boots February 13th through 15th. Chicago March 6th through 8th. Clue April 24th through 26th. And Meredith Wilson's The Music Band, June 12th through 14th. All of those shows are on sale right now, and you can get tickets at BroadwayInScranton.com and at the Scranton Cultural Center box office. And if you don't want to miss another second of this season, we do have season tickets still available for all of these 4 shows. You can sit in the same seat. If you can't attend one of the performances, you can switch into another of the same show. You can get extra tickets for family and friends. There's many, many reasons to become a season ticket holder. And you can get those also at the box office and BroadwayInScranton.com.
Leave expectations at the door. Just let your eyes explore my cinematic flair. From my boot to derriere, I've got a lazy silken
feet. Ali Basiliga of NAC Entertainment speaking with us about season 2025-26 continuing. It's Broadway in Scranton, presented by the Broadway Theater League and NAC Entertainment at the Scranton Cultural Center. Kinky Boots from February 13th through the 15th. shows Friday at 7:30, that's the 13th, Saturday, Valentine's Day at 2 and 7:30 p.m., and Sunday the 15th at 1 p.m. For more information and tickets, BroadwayInScranton.com, BroadwayInScranton.com. It's Kinky Boots as Broadway in Scranton season continues. Shows February 13th, 14th, and 15th, Friday at 7:30 p.m., Saturday at 2, and again at 7:30, and then Sunday at 1 p.m. For more information, on the web, BroadwayInScranton.com.
I like being looked at, and you like to look. I know a way to make us both happy.